104.3 FM University Radio Network presents The Good Morning Wake-Up Show, a radio show for the English-speaking community in Puerto Vallarta and Banderas Bay, with your host, Michael Nolan. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio 104.3. Today is Saturday, July 22nd. I hope you've been having a great week. I have. We had a lot of fun skiing and went surfing one day and went fishing one day, played a little bit of golf. Boy, I have the life of luxury, right? You're right, I do. Now that I'm 63 years old retired guy, I'm just having the funnest time of my life, and I hope you are too. We're still kind of in the summer break. This is our last show for a couple weeks because the university is going to shut down between the summer semester and the spring or the fall semester. And we'll be starting up in middle of August with new shows, new information, a lot of stuff about the SWAM program, which is coming up starting in early September. But we're going to have all the enrollment and everything for the SWAM program and, of course, all the other classes in the very, very beginning of the first week of August, continuing with the enrollment through about the 20th, and then classes are going to start not too long after that. So anyway, I want to say thank you. Welcome to the show today. We're going to have a lot of fun, and be sure to get some pencils and paper out because we're giving out a lot of good answers, a lot of good questions, and a lot of good information. So right now we're going to play some music. We'll be back with our first interview. Again, welcome to the show, and thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free. No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do, and I blame you. No one bites back as hard on their anger. None of my pain and woe can show through. But my dreams, as my conscience seems to be, I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free. Crack it open before I use it and lose my cool. When I smile, tell me some bad news before I laugh and act like a fool. And if I swallow anything evil, put your finger down my throat. And if I shiver, please give me a blanket. The sad man behind blue eyes.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. We have two great guests in today. One of them is, he's here about as much as I am, Dennis Reich with the J. Sadler Project, former commander of the Post 114 American Legion, and today's 4th of July celebration, and we're recording it today and going to play it on Saturday, but we're here to talk about a big event. And so first of all, happy 4th of July.
Thank you, Michael. And the American Legion did have a 4th of July event at Steve's Sports Bar in the Romantic Zone. We had a great turnout of veterans, people from the U.S. that was that were patriotic and that were there. We had hot dogs and chili and chips and plenty of liquid to drink, but anyway, it was a good event today. But the best thing I need to talk about is what happened last Saturday. We had the first annual Mango Festival, and it was a tremendous success. As we advertised, we had entertainment from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We had a lot of traditional Mexican music besides one classic rock band, and we had mariachi there. We had
the young kid mariachi was fabulous.
Yes, it was.
Man, that was something.
And that
all of the talent was great. The young lady that sang by herself and did the dance. I mean, that was great entertainment. I was really surprised.
And that, you know, we started this to do something for the people of Puerto Vallarta. We call it a fundraiser charity event, but I tell you, we never made any money. We lost a little bit, but this is the first year. The second year we'll do better. The third year we'll probably really know how to run it. But the people were fantastic. All the seating for the music was filled. Our three areas that we had for eating food was filled with people eating. A lot of the vendors eventually ran out of food.
That's
which
true.
Was good. That was a good healthy sign for them. That means they'll come back next year.
Well, Tori from Victoria, or PV Cupcakes, this is the second event that she's been at that I've been. She was at the festival, the American Legion Chili Cook-Off, and she told me she cooked 100 cupcakes there, and I know she sold out in a hurry. She told me she sold out again. I mean, she was the first one to sell out. Those PV cupcakes are just fabulous. So, Victoria, Tori, thank you very much for bringing those. I had two of them, and they were great. And she always sells out. Hey, I want to say thank you to the Jay Sadler Foundation and, of course, Dennis. He helped present the radio station here with a new set of headphones a while back, and we're listening to the show through those. And so thank you very much. But I want to congratulate him and the Jay Sadler Project and the Sister City on the Mango, the first annual Mango Festival. It was fabulous. And you talk about the seating. It was really, really great. They had all the entertainment up close. Then you could buy the little amphitheater there. And then you could back up a little bit. And you had two big areas with tents to where you're out of the sun a little bit. Great, great food. You're surrounded by food. I thought it was set up better, way better than they do for the Taco Festival and some of the other events they have at that plaza. It was just fabulous. You all did a great job, so congratulations.
Yes, we had tickets in the back there.
In the gazebo. I call it the gazebo. It's right. Like tilapa or something like that.
That's right, in the gazebo, and that worked out well. We had some shirt sales. At the end of the night, we had a couple cases of mangoes left over. We gave everybody that was there till they ran out a mango to take home as a souvenir to eat the next morning.
Now, those came from Thomas Lawn?
No, that was another promotion we had there, but the mangoes came from Low DeMarcus that we gave away. But yet, I got to thank Flamingo's Golf Course. They donated mangoes. We went there one day with a crew, and we picked the mangoes, and they were absolutely delicious.
And they came off the golf course?
Off the golf course.
Well, you could have done that at El Tigre where I live, because my wife's and some of our neighbor ladies have already picked all the mangoes. I got about 80 of them at my house. I'm eating mango from morning, lunch, and dinner. You know, when I was a little kid, I was really, really poor. We ate beans for breakfast. We drank water for lunch, and we swelled up for dinner. Now it's a little bit different. I'm eating mangoes 24 hours a day. But, boy, they're good, and this is the time of year. But I mentioned Thomas Lawn. Am I saying
right,
that correct?
No, that's right. They came.
They had a big, the mayor was there.
That's right. The mayor was there. They had a huge display of mango products.
Yes.
They probably took up three tables themselves, and they had a lot of colorful information to go with it, and we're very thankful there. And then we had the mayor of Talpa there, and that, at the end of the night, they all asked to meet with the Jay Sadler people, and they want us to come to their community as time allows to, support their community on some of their community centers or public structures that need attention.
Well, you know the university has a university. The University of Guadalajara has a campus there.
Is that
you may
right?
not be aware of that. It's a pretty new campus. It's beautiful. And we'll all go down there together one weekend and hang out and see things.
Well, we will. And I committed to them that we will help them as we do from Low DeMarcus down to El Tuito and in between. And reaching out a little bit further is something that we can do to help the community.
Dennis, you have brought a guest today, Edgar. And he's here to talk about another great event that's going to be happening here on July 29th. Is that a Saturday? Let me look here. Da-da-da-da. I got my calendar right here. July 29th, Saturday. And it is going to be a ceviche festival. Am I saying that word right?
That's right, Michael.
It's diced up fish with a little onion, a little cilantro, a little
lemon.
I watch the girl make it at my house all the time, and I eat it quite a bit. I like it with camarón better than I do the marlin or some of the others. But you can make it out of anything. We had some ceviche at the Mango Festival.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that the Jay Sadler Project is going to enter the ceviche event, and we're going to introduce Costa Rican ceviche. My wife, by the way, is from Costa Rica, as my son. And my son and I will be running the booth, and we're going to bring maybe 10, 15 kilos of Costa Rican ceviche.
Yeah.
And the difference between Costa Rican ceviche and most other ceviches is that we use lemon juice to cook the fish, whether it be shrimp or the fish or whatever we decide, marlin, whatever it is.
I don't know.
But it's the lemon juice that cooks it, and that's what gives it the different taste. Then we put peppers in, red peppers, green peppers, onions.
You're making me hungry, Dennis. Stop. Edgar, go ahead and tell us about the new Ceviche Festival. Is this the first annual one of those two?
No, thanks. First, thanks for the space
to
invite all your audience. This is the fourth.
The fourth
edition. We start this project, the Ceviche and Aguachile Festival. We start in 2015.
Okay.
We actually start in the Quale Island. From that, it's 2016 and just the last January, 2017, we are doing the festival in Lázaro Cárdenas Park, right in Old Town. And right this year, we decide, as part of the organization, we decide to do it two times every year, because the sponsors and the people who attend to the event, every time they ask, hey, when is coming the next one? So we realize the concept is, it's good to do it every two times every year. That's why we decided to do it right in the summer. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the 29th of July.
And what time is it in the day? The morning, afternoon, dinner? What time is it?
We start at 12 o'clock.
12 noon.
12 noon until 7 o'clock. See? So during all these hours, we have local restaurants, and they come with the ceviche, as you were saying, marlin, fish, tunfish, shrimps, etc., many different kinds.
Costa Rican ceviche.
Jay Sadler Project will be with the Costa Rican. And the other vendors are with the Ceviche Vallarta and some other different mix they do in the restaurants. We're also going to have a craft beer.
Okay.
And we are going to have also cocktails made from raicilla, this distillate made here in the area, in El Tuito, actually. So we're going to have also live music shows, some other things to all the people to come to join us. It's a family event.
Another great, great opportunity to go out and have a lot of fun down there at the plaza.
It's the best time you can find many restaurants together in one place.
How many will be participating this year?
We have 10 restaurants.
So far?
They're going to sell food, plus the craft beer, the raicilla. We're going to have a handmade ice cream, fresh cold water, and some other vendors doing desserts and other things. So it's going to be part of the, as I say, the fourth edition.
Mm-hmm.
And the next, for sure, will be done by January 2018, as it's going to be a tradition in Lázaro Cárdenas.
Bigger. And you're going to be involved with it every year, Edgar, so thank you very much for that and all the hard work. I know we may have confused you on the dates. I said it was July 4th, which it is. We're pre-recording this because I am unfortunately going to be out of town the day that this segment airs on the 27th, or the 22nd, I'm sorry. I've got to be out of town on the 22nd, and so you're listening to it right now, but we actually recorded it on July 4th. Dennis and I took time off of our 4th of July celebrations. And Edgar was kind enough to come in. It just doesn't almost feel right being down here in Mexico and not going to the fireworks and watching the parades and everything. But as I mentioned earlier, we get to do that on in September when Mexico celebrates their independence. So Dennis and I kind of celebrate it twice, don't we?
Yes, we do. But, you know, one of the best times to be down here is New Year's.
Oh, it's a fabulous time.
And I'll tell you, on New Year's Eve, the whole Banderas Bay is lit up with fireworks. And that from one end to the other, and it's just absolutely very spectacular.
Well, I got to throw a plug in. The last 3 years, I've sat up high up on the bay in one of the resorts, one of the hotels, watching all the fireworks below us, which was really, really fabulous. We start have a great, great dinner starting around 7 o'clock, and by the time we get our entree, it's usually around midnight, and all the fireworks go on for 45 minutes or so. But I'm going to give a plug. I shouldn't do this because it might sell out, but last year, myself and my wife's family and I, we all went to the Vallarta Adventures Rhythms of the Night. We took the boat out around 7 o'clock, went out, had a fabulous buffet, an incredible show that the Vallarta Adventures Rhythms of the Night people put on. And then we came back about 11 o'clock, stopped the boat about a mile and a half offshore. And we sat out there till about 1 o'clock watching the fireworks from Punta de Mita all the way down to Conchichina, Mismaloya. You could see the entire bay from out as far as we were on a boat, and I guarantee that's where I'm going to see it every year from now on. I'm going to beg, borrow, and steal some way to get on somebody's boat, if it isn't the Art Adventures, and watch it from out there again, because it's fun to see it from the water side. It's just incredible.
You know, let me give a plug for the Art Adventures, that the last 4 years, two of the years that we've gone out on their boat on 4th of July, we've had a fabulous time. They do a great job. They have plenty of food, plenty of liquid to drink, and they have a beautiful Mayan show out there on their island.
Yeah.
And that I can't say enough about Vallarta Adventures and Rhythms of the Night.
Well, I talk about that because people don't realize it's a huge, huge corporation, and they do anything from, you know, zip lining, backpacking, Rhythms of the Night, swimming with dolphins, swimming with eels, swimming with anything you want, dinner shows, dinner cruises. They do an awful lot of charity work also, Dennis.
Yes, they do.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, but about once a month they take about 30, 40, 50 employees, and they go clean up beaches. They go help other organizations. Breast Cancer Month, they always paint two or three of their vehicles pink and donate a lot of time and energy with their employees. So thank you very much to all the people of Vallarta Adventures for all the great things you give back to the community.
A few months ago, the people from Vallarta Adventures entertained the children from Kanika. That's the Children's Cancer Screening Center. We all met at VIPS. They had three of their trucks there. All the kids and mothers got on. We went out and spent half a day with swimming with the dolphins. At the end of the day, they drove them around Nueva Vallarta to ride in the truck. And then we wound up El Tuigo at the golf course where they have the little zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, these kids have never seen wild animals like that. They got to see them. And you're right, Vallarta Adventures does have a big heart.
Well, Liz Perry, who's a sweet friend of mine over there that's kind of like PR, she always helps out. And all of them over there. You know, you go and you just feel like you're part of their family. They want to welcome you so much. So enough about them. We're talking about the Ceviche Festival. Again, it's Saturday, July 29th, down at the Plaza in Old Town from 12 to 7, 12 noon to 7 p.m. And it'll probably roll on a little longer. It always does. All these festivals do. Anything else special? Craft beer, live music, all types of ceviche from a lot of different restaurants.
Costa Rican ceviche.
Costa Rican ceviche from compliments of Dennis' lovely wife.
Yes, many fun. The entrance to the park is free.
Free to get in.
You buy the food you like in the each of the stands we will have.
Yes.
We will have also tables and chairs for the people to sit, to enjoy the food, the music. Join us in Facebook if you want to know more information on all the restaurants who are involved.
Okay.
Festival del Ceviche y Aguachile PB, right in Spanish. And we are on Facebook, so for more information.
Okay, say that one more time, a little slower.
Festival del Ceviche y Aguachile PB.
You got all
that's
that, right?
Right.
Okay, you know, one last plug for the Jay Sadler Project. We do have a webpage, www.jsadlerproject.com. It'll list the projects that we're working on, that we've done. And if you want to volunteer, there's a section in there that you can click on, give us your name, how to get a hold of you, and we can line you up in the community to do volunteer work.
Well, once again, I'll say thank you to Edgar. Thank you to Dennis Reich for coming in here talking about not only the Ceviche Festival, but all the great, great things that the Jay Sadler Project does and is involved in. And we appreciate it, and we'll see you there. We're going to have to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake-Up Show here in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's alright. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. While you see it your way, there's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend.
try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. While you see it your way, there's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show on University of Guadalajara Radio. Once again, I have one of my favorite guests on the show, Miss Kelly Traynor, who is the consulate agent for the United States government here in Puerto Vallarta. Kelly, thank you very much for coming back to the show today.
Thank you, Michael. A pleasure. Hello to our listening public.
We're going to talk today about hurricane, operations.
Preparedness? Yes.
That's a long word for a guy from Oklahoma. We're going to talk about what to do. We live here in the Bay of Banderas. If you haven't noticed, right out here to the west of us is the biggest body of water in the world. Some people don't really see much past the margarita glass. But if you look out there, there's a whole bunch of water. And every now and then, about this time of year, it kind of maybe starts churning a little bit more and the waves come in. And then next thing you know, 3 or 4 days later, the wind's blowing 60, 70, 80, 90 miles an hour, and the tides come in quite a bit, and the water surges, and if you're not ready, it's too late.
Well, hurricane preparedness is an important topic, especially in our area. Vallarta, without a doubt, the Bay of Banderas is very blessed and very well located, and everybody knows that who lives in the area that, you know, we've dodged the bullet many times.
Last year with Patricia.
With Patricia.
The world's biggest hurricane that ever.
Yes.
It didn't even rain here, I don't think.
It barely rained, but, you know, if we would have been hit, it would have been a disaster.
That's true.
The National Hurricane Center does not put out a notice that something catastrophic is coming your way unless there's something catastrophic coming your way.
Now, they don't cry wolf very often.
No, no. So one of the most important things is to monitor the National Hurricane Center website. It has a lot of good information, especially for me. It has graphics that I can look at, which actually project the trajectory of a hurricane. And little by little, hurricane season starts in May and goes till October.
Mm-hmm.
And so little by little, you can prepare so you don't have to get desperate to try to gather everything at the last minute.
Well, here we are at the end of June, 1st of July.
Right.
The water's warmed up now.
Hasn't even rained hardly.
Hadn't rained, but, you know, you'd think it was maybe February or something. The weather's been really cool. The temperatures have been
not
great.
Not that cool.
Well,
I feel the heat rolling in, but, yeah.
Anyway, so there's a lot of things we can do. Of course, monitor the local news. And we're talking about internet-type news, not the Vallarta Tribune. It's a great, great magazine. We all love it, but they can't predict the future.
Right.
But do that and listen to the local radio stations. Of course, listen to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show every Saturday morning. If one's coming, I'll tell you because, you know.
As long as it doesn't come Wednesday.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't come Wednesday. Well, I'll tell you a week before. You know, I'm part psychic.
Yeah, and it is important to prepare. So in the consular agency, if you make a visit here, we'll pass out a hurricane preparedness like checklist, some things to think about. And little by little, when you go to the supermarket, pick up extra canned goods or when you extra water. Because little by little, as you're gathering things, designate a place in your house where mm-hmm. you're gathering those items. And I remind folks that a couple of years ago when the hurricane hit Cabo San Lucas, it hit hard. That, you know what? It rained and rained and there was lots of winds for, I think, like 18 hours. And then they were out of electricity for 2 weeks.
That happened to me one time when I was in Houston, hurricane, all right, it was Tropical Storm Allison came and knocked out electricity for 3 days. So you got to really be careful, but
What I've done, Kelly, is with your suggestions last year, I went out and bought about five of those 30-gallon containers, the big Tupperware bins.
Oh, yeah.
And I put water in some of them. I put some dry clothes or regular clothes in them. I put some snacks. I started putting some food in there in cans. And my wife said, well, you need a can opener. So I ate the stuff that was in those cans, and I went to Walmart and I got some of those cans.
Pop-top cans. Yeah.
So you might think that's one less thing you need to put in there. It's terrible if you have a can but no can opener.
Yeah.
So get the ones that you can open. And stuff that's high protein, those tuna packs.
Right.
Tuna with styrofoam packs, they stay for a long, long time.
Correct.
And I just filled about six of them up, and I made sure they weren't too heavy, because if I'm going to have to get the car and head out towards somewhere, I don't want to go and try and, hurt my back trying to carry those heavy ones. So get four or five of those. Put some things in there. We have food. Of course, we all need food. Mm-hmm. Drinks, water, snack foods. If you have elderly people, make sure that you have some Ensure or something like that that could be good energy.
That's good.
We always need to be, if you have on any kind of prescription drugs, make sure you have a little extra in case something like this comes up.
That's wise.
First aid kit, you have that on the list.
Correct.
Special items like you have babies or elderly people, you need to make
special
sure.
Special needs, sure. That's more important to take into consideration.
Flashlight, batteries. You have a really, really great list, and anybody can come out to the consulate and get that list. Or can they go to the website? Is it on the website by chance?
It's not on the website, but if you get out a pen and a piece of paper and you'd like to write down our email, send a note to the email and we'll send a list to you.
That'd be great, yeah.
So the email is conagencypuertov@state.gov.
Okay.
Again, that's conagencypuertov@state.gov. That is our official email. And any inquiries, any consular questions, anything that you want to know, or if you would like this hurricane preparedness list, just drop a note there and just say, hey, please send me a hurricane preparedness list, and they'll send it right to you. Apart from other things that you want to prepare for, it's very important that you consider your first aid kit, because
yes,
injuries can come about, and so please make sure you have a very strong first aid kit with your medications and your bandages and hygiene wipes. So, never underestimate those little wet wipes.
Mm-hmm.
They're miracle workers in an emergency. Also, telephones, to have your telephone fully charged. There are some secondary chargers that you can get for your car and that use solar.
Yeah.
That would probably be a good idea. Extra cash. Not a ton of cash, but extra cash that you can use for the basic supplies before and after the fact, because usually with an electric outage, no electricity, you don't have ATMs.
That's true.
The banks aren't working.
Gas station pumps aren't working.
So if you have the possibility of getting a tank of gas or something beforehand, that's wise. Also, your important documents.
That's real important, and I'm going to talk about those here in just a second. The thing about a hurricane, usually we know a couple, three or four days, a week ahead sometimes.
Yes.
Tornadoes, I grew up in Oklahoma, we had a lot of tornadoes, and they were, you're just walking down the road, and all of a sudden your car's flown off three blocks. But you don't know about those, but hurricanes you do. You mentioned important documents. It's very important to have your documents in a waterproof container of some type.
Ziploc bags are the best.
You're talking about like insurance paper, medical records, banks, account numbers, social security cards, passport copies, and this, that, and the other, because you may not remember to get your important documents and then you leave, and you may, unfortunately, this does happen. Hurricanes can just take your whole house and end up in Bucerias somewhere if it was down in Old Town.
God forbid.
But it can take anything, destroy everything.
Right.
So you got to have extra copies. And it's much, much better if after the fact, if things are all lost or destroyed, you have copies of everything versus just going in there and say, well, here's my Social Security. number. I don't really have any copies or passports, especially. So you're right. The big plastic freezer bags
are they're really good. Yeah. They're really good.
And let's talk about something real quick. Pets. A lot of us have pets.
Yes.
So be sure when you're throwing your Doritos and your Twinkies and your... well, that's what I pack. You know, my mom, when I was a little kid, she used to feed me Milky Ways and Snickers and Skittles. I think she wanted a pinata, not a sun. Because she used to just fill me with those things. The pets, we got to have packaged food for them. Of course, they always need water, but there's going to be plenty of water somewhere, somehow. But get some food, some snacks, and things like that.
Exactly.
And what else now? We need to talk about special items for babies and elderly. Is there anything in particular?
Well, it's just, you know, what are the individual needs of the folks that are around you, whether they're children or, of course, elderly.
Mm-hmm.
If you are requested by the authorities to evacuate, it's recommended that you do. But also, when you go to a shelter, bring your water, bring your blankets, bring your own supplies. Because the truth is, we're in Mexico and they don't have a lot of resources that mm-hmm. they inject into their civil protection.
That's true.
And so, you know, they're going to treat you like everybody else. And if they're only given blankets to, you know, the elderly folks and the very small children or babies and... you know, you're in your 60s and kind of healthy, they're not going to give you one. So that's why it's important to prepare to take care of yourself.
You're exactly right.
And everything you might need for that at least 72 hours, which is recommended by FEMA mm-hmm. in the United States. So I would say double or triple that.
Yeah, down here.
Down here, sure.
Well, this is all great information. We got to take a break, but we're going to be right back because we're going to finish up our conversation about hurricane preparations. And then we're going to talk about some other things that Kelly and the consulate are doing here in Puerto Vallarta. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to say thank you once again to Kelly Traynor, our American consulate agent, for coming in today and talking about hurricane season. As you know, we've been talking about the preparation for the storms. But is there anything you want to kind of close that topic out with? Because we have some other things we need to talk about also.
Yes. Write this down, please, ladies and gentlemen. The consular agency official email is conagency, CONAGENCY, Puerto, V for Vallarta, at state.gov. That is the official email where you can solicit your hurricane preparedness list so that you have a quick checklist to go through and see what things you should have on hand in the event of an emergency. And this is not just for hurricanes. It's for any contingency. Heavy rains where there's light or electric outages, mm-hmm. Earthquake, God forbid. But we've had earthquakes here. So,
that's true.
So it's important. For hurricanes, monitor the National Hurricane Center to get up-to-date information on what to expect, what the projections are, and the trajectories of the storms and when they're lining them up. Is it a tropical storm, a depression? What are they looking for? And they will give you a good idea of what to do.
Now, even though we're living in the southern part of Mexico, I don't know how great the Mexican weather forecasters are, but I know the ones in Norman, Oklahoma, where the national, one of the big centers are, and the ones in Florida and California, they really, really monitor the hurricanes and typhoons really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to Google Weather, whoever's weather, and really look at radars. You can look at anticipated precipitation, which is rain.
Right.
You can look at a lot of information and see where the storm is and see how it's moving hourly. And they always make projected paths. Some people think you just wake up here every day and the weather's perfect, which it usually is.
Usually
we
is.
We get about 20 days of rain a year, and we're 7 months into it already and haven't had but maybe a hundredth of an inch. So one of these days it's going to start raining and it won't stop for about, you know, 2 or 3 hours.
Hallelujah. That's going to be well received.
Those mounds are awful dry and brown. I went up to Guadalajara the other day. But let's talk about the agency a little bit. You've
sure.
got some new staff, I'm not mistaken, or someone in a new position that can be more of assistance.
That didn't quite work.
It hadn't worked
online yet.
Okay, well, we'll back off of that.
Yeah, we'll back off of that. Basically, it's about the communications.
Okay. Well, I know you haven't got the pictures of the new president, vice president up yet either.
Yeah, they haven't sent them to us. I don't know why.
You can put my picture up there for a while. It might confuse people.
Well, you'd have to put on a new hairstyle.
Well, I look just like President Washington and Thomas Jefferson, and those guys did. They all had ponytails and long hair.
That's true.
See?
That's true.
And there's, you know, those guys were pretty sharp.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? We're still waiting for the photographs of our new president and vice president, and when they come, we'll put them up.
Well, he's probably still at glamour shots getting them done.
Well, don't they all? And so having said that, folks, I understand that there's been a lot of difficulties trying to communicate with our agency. Days gone by, the agency was readily available and accessible through local phone numbers to the community. So that has changed, and that change started more than a year ago. And the State Department and Embassy had decided that they're going to concentrate all the general information calls to a call center mm-hmm. that can answer all the basic questions. So the general information number for the Mission Mexico call center for all the agencies, consulates, and embassy is 01-333-268-2100. This, because we're under the supervision of Guadalajara Consulate, this is the number to the Guadalajara Consulate, which in turn directs you to the call center.
Mm-hmm.
The call center is actually located in Monterrey. And in Monterrey is where they can tell you about notaries, our office hours, how to renew a passport, how to get an appointment if you have an emergency passport need, how to, what's available, health services, things of that nature. Or if there's an emergency, they will transfer to our agency.
And although it is in Monterrey, it's... will be English-speaking people.
Absolutely. It's all English-speaking people, and all the general needs will be taken care of. If there is an emergency happening, then they will transfer you to a duty officer,
mm-hmm.
which is a State Department consular officer, and they will make a determination on, you know, what needs to be done or give you suggestions on what to do. And they will call upon us if they need assistance or want to direct, if it's a case in our area, direct it to us. And, of course, we're always here to help. There are no direct numbers that are publicly available to call our agency, not like the good old days. And I'm still like hometown folk.
Yeah.
And I'm used to... you know, taking care of the people and being in the community. And, I'm still out there doing a lot of things. Our focus is on the emergencies, and then all the general information goes through call centers. So I want to apologize to the community who still Googles our agency and finds old numbers and gets very frustrated because they can't get through anymore. But if they call this 01-333-268-2100 24/7, they will be connected to either the call center during business hours, or if it's an emergency, to a duty officer through the United States Embassy in Mexico City. and we'll help, because that's what we're here for.
And if someone has a need, but they're local and they want to come by and see how beautiful the office is, your office is located over here in the shopping mall, what I call here at Paradise Village, which is Nueva Vallarta, just down the street from the Hard Rock Hotel and San Javier Hospital, and there's a casino up there.
Right.
And it's on the second floor, and your office hours are Monday through Friday.
Monday
through Thursday.
From 8:30 until 12:30 is when we handle public service. And so that's when we can accept walk-ins. If you're renewing a passport, you don't need any appointment. You can just come in Monday through Thursday and with your passport application and photos and your passport and bring a carrier way bill. All this information is mm-hmm. through the call center or on just Google Consulate General of Guadalajara, and all this information is available for you. And we'll be happy to attend you and try to answer all your questions if you'd like to pop in. We are also, so we're not open on Fridays to the public, because those are the days that we use to go to do outside business and errands. That's the day I go to the local jails and check up on the people who have been detained or who are incarcerated, or follow through with cases with district attorneys, or visit people in hospitals who are alone, or mm-hmm. you know, there's so many things going on. There's only one of me to be doing those things, so Friday is usually set aside for that. And then also the second Wednesday of every month, we are closed for consulate training, administration, and courses. So second Wednesday of every month closed, Friday's closed.
Well, you all do a great, great job down here, and your staff works really, really hard, and we appreciate it, and especially all the extracurricular stuff that you do that a lot of people don't know. But I want to say thank you very much for coming in this morning, educating the listening audience a little bit. It is hurricane season, so be prepared, and you can get your list by coming into the consular agency or going online. And Kelly, I just want to say thank you once again for taking the time to visit with the listening audience today.
Wonderful, Michael. And folks, just prepare for the worst and always hope for the best. The U.S. Consular Agency is here to help, and have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, Kelly. We're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Waiting for the breakup.
good morning. Welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. This is your host, Michael Nolan. You were just listening to The Love of Money by the OJs. I hope you enjoyed that music. As you can tell by the words of the song, it was a lot of money, 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 money. And this morning, we're very, very fortunate to have a great guest here, Jason Lavender, who is one of the directors at Intercam Bank here in Puerto Vallarta. And we're going to be talking exactly what the song said, money. Welcome, Mr. Lavender. I want to say thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you coming. And my first question is going to be, there's a lot of Americans and Canadians, the English-speaking community that live down here, some full-time and some part-time for 2 or 3 months a year, the snowbirds, as we call them. We all bring our money down here, and we have to exchange it to Mexican pesos because 99% of the places we shop and buy and this, that, and the other, unless you're using a credit card, that's the currency. And I was just going to ask you, there's lots of different places and ways to exchange money, and I just wanted to see if you'd explain a little bit about what you think is the best way and the best places for the visitors that are going to be here just for a week or for the long-term people that are going to be here for 2 or 3 months a year or even the people like myself that live here full-time. So sure. If you wouldn't mind first, Jason, just introduce yourself and give us a little bit of your history and background.
Thank you. My name is Jason Lavender. I'm the director of Intercam here in Puerto Vallarta. Also, I have Acapulco, Ixtapa, and Manzanillo are my branches. I sort of cover the Pacific coast. I've been with Intercam since 28 years ago. We started. I was the first branch outside of Mexico City. We now have 75 branches nationwide. We're in every major city in Mexico. But getting back to your question about exchanging, in general, tends to be a rule, the closer you are to a financial center, the better the exchange rate. So if you really want to get the top dollar, go to New York or London. But of course, from there, it diversifies. The worst exchange rate generally for cash is at an airport or a port because they know they've got you coming and going and people don't really, shop. They just, take whatever rate they can get before getting on or off an airplane. In general, most of our clients here, as you say, they live here. Or they have homes here and spend, like snowbirds, 3 months here. Those we recommend most that they exchange either with a check. They can write a check on their U.S. bank or Canadian bank to us. And we deposit into their account here or give them cash. And you get a better rate that way than you do for cash, for U.S. dollars cash or Canadian cash. Most people don't know. They think cash is king. But the term is deceiving because the worst exchange rate of all is the cash rate. Generally for cash to be digitalized, it has to be, or to be, put in the banking system, it has to be escorted with a armed guard all the way to a bank in the United States before it can be in the system. And that costs a lot of money. Besides cash, nobody wants cash because people will knock you over the head.
That's something that I never knew. I know it has to eventually end up back in a bank in America because that's where the currency's. Mm-hmm. But you just don't realize, you never think when you go to the airport and you give them your, $200, that money has to be exchanged to another bank, then to another bank, then has to actually be returned to the United States. So Right. That's it. That's, very interesting to know.
Yeah, you get a better rate if you're in the banking system and you're moving money digitally because it's already in the system and there's no cost of float or carrying or anything. In order to exchange though for a check, it's not really for the tourist. The tourist, it's easier to carry cash because they don't have an account in a bank or they're not knowing. So nobody will take a check from a tourist unless you're a registered client and you're pre-approved.
Of Intercam or one of the other banks that's down here. Because I don't think really living in Houston for many years, my wife being from Guadalajara, we tried to find one bank that went back and forth where we could use it, and we really couldn't. Mm-hmm. So the tour ships come in here, the cruise ships come in here 3 or 4 or 5 times a week now and are going to be more and more in the future. And, of course, you have 3 or 4 dozen airplanes show up here every day. Those people all have cash. They want to get it as, the Mexican pesos as fast as they can. And if they're just doing $200, $300, $400, that might not be such a terrible deal. But if you're living here, you're going to be financing cars or financing your home or whatever, it's much better to do it. Money's the worst, or cash, then mm-hmm. checks are the second best.
Correct.
The third best would be
wire transfer.
Wire transfer. That's probably the very best, right, if you have your bank in the United States or Canada?
It depends on the amount, because most banks charge anywhere from $15 to up to $45 for a wire transfer.
Yeah, I think mine's $12.50 through Chase in the United States.
Well, that's a good yeah. rate. Some of them, it depends. The small town banks can charge, I don't know, up to $45. So if you're just moving $100 or $200, a wire transfer is not good. Then you're better off just giving me a check.
Okay.
If the amount is, you know, probably $20,000 or $30,000, the exchange rate can be a little bit better to where then it's marginally, it might be better to do a wire transfer. Because
yeah, I've noticed that myself when I bring in cash. And one thing that I learned since I've been down here, before I had a account with Intercam, if I went to one of the local banks, they'd only let me cash in $1,500 American per month.
That's in cash.
In cash. Mm-hmm. But then when I got with your bank, I can do $4,000 a month
mm-hmm.
through cash. But then if I do a check or wire transfer, I can do just about any amount until my bank account says I don't have any more.
Yes, there's with all the prevention of money laundering and the Patriot Act in the United States, there's a lot more restriction on exchanging cash and tracing where that cash came from and what it's going to be used for. So it's not as easy to change above $4,000. You really have to register with a bank
mm-hmm.
and state where you're bringing this money from, that you're not avoiding taxes, and that it's not drug money or one of those things. So
sure.
That's part of the complication with cash also. Most banks don't like to deal in cash because it's got the bad reputation as for the money laundering issues. Not to say that that's what it is, but it just makes it more of a bureaucratic process for us to process cash. In general, you're better off if you're going to exchange more than $1,000 or two a month, you're better off doing it through the banking system with a check or a wire transfer.
How about credit cards? I know a lot of people bring their credit card, their Visa or whatever, and they'll take out a cash advance. That's not really a smart thing to do, is it?
Not really. When you use a credit card, there's a fee used. So you're paying for that fee in the exchange
mm-hmm.
rate. You may not know it because you think you're getting pesos in the amount of dollars, but you're getting about a 2% clip there that the Visa card charges the establishment.
Okay.
Plus, generally, most people don't know, even with ATMs, just sticking your card in an ATM, generally, if it's not your own bank, will charge you minimum about $4, but even more. But they get to choose the exchange rate. You don't get to haggle and say, is this a good exchange rate or not? They just spit the pesos out to you, and you don't find out till a month later what exchange rate they gave you. And you'd be surprised. They don't generally give you the best rate. In fact, there's a lot of fluctuation during the day of the exchange rate,
mm-hmm.
and they get to choose what hour.
So if it was like, say, just recently the dollar's been like 17,
mm-hmm.
but it might fluctuate that same day down to like 16.60.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're probably going to take advantage of the lowest rate and give that to you, and then the higher rate's what they'll exchange their money at. So they're making money. It's just like the airlines. All the service charges, they'll sell you a $60 ticket, but it'll cost you $1,000 by the time you get down here.
Yeah. The credit cards are just – they're more convenient, and they're certainly convenient. But the general rule in exchange is you're better off buying your currency ahead of time and knowing what rate you're getting
okay.
rather than being at the mercy of not knowing – if you're timing the market right, changing at the right time.
Well, I know I get periodically emails, probably once or twice a week, from Intercam, my personal banker, Pedro. He'll send me an email saying, hey, this is what the rate is today, mm-hmm. and, you know, come on in. I think it's a good time for you to exchange some money. And
yeah.
I usually have to write him back and say, well, I'm broke. You already got all my money.
If you live here, it's better to follow it and exchange the money when the rate is good. So if you wait a week, you might be better off. And when our clients call, we say, you know, it's really low now. You might wait a week. Or you never know. Nobody has a crystal ball. But you can see the trend, and it's amazing. A lot of people just change when they need it
mm-hmm.
rather than, hey, the rate is good now. I'm going to put a little hay in the barn there and, and save up some pesos, I know I'm going to spend them in the next 3 months anyway.
Exactly.
So might as well have them there rather than exchanging when the rate is bad. It's just an easier way to manage your money.
Well, I moved down here in January, and I believe I was getting like 12.85 or 13, something like that. It might have been around, but it was under 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then of late, it's been 16.40, 16.50, somewhere like that. That mm-hmm. may be a little high, but mm-hmm. it's gone up basically, you know, from the 14s to the 16s.
Right.
And like you said a minute ago, nobody has a crystal ball, but it seems like the trend is going up. Mm-hmm. And I've heard, you know, hey, it might go up to 20. I don't know if that'll ever happen or not, but what do you think is going to happen? I know you don't have crystal ball and nobody's holding you to anything, mm-hmm. but you're a professional in the banking industry.
Nobody has a crystal ball, but there has been a big shakeout in the markets. There's been a lot of volatility the last 3 months
mm-hmm.
in all world markets, in all currencies. The crash in the price of oil was not expected to be so fast. That has affected, and of course there's China and Europe and Japan. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. So what's the rate going to do? Really don't know. I mean, it could get worse. It could always get worse. We're at kind of a high end that was not expected, let's say 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico in general has a reputation as a solid economy. We've had a little bad patch because of the drop in commodity prices worldwide is affected. But in general, Mexico has now a good pluralistic democratic government that's functioning well. We have foreign reserves rather than debt. We have a surplus. It's the future looks bodes well, with the exception of oil, which has affected us. And then occasionally the bad press from violence, crime, things, which it seems to be cooling down a little bit. That's always a big issue of
sure.
where there's more. It's, sometimes people think it's a media-driven thing, but at any rate.
Well, I know the current current president of Mexico, he changed several years ago, and one of his main goals when he was running was to change the petroleum industry
mm-hmm.
to where Pemex, instead of being a sole entity, invited a lot more of the foreign companies
right.
to come in and participate, although Pemex would still own and run everything. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think about 25 or 30% of the total gross income for all of Mexico was petroleum, or it's tied to the export or the import of petroleum and gas industry.
For the tax base for the government.
Now that's changed since oil was $140 or $110, $15 a barrel. Now it's down to $43.
Right.
That's really changed, although the oil industry ain't going to stay strong mm-hmm. here in the Mexican government is going to still have the money, but it's a lot less per barrel, so that's changing some. But I still think the future and the economy is strong, and I think there's going to be more and more tourism coming down here.
In general, and of course, the cheap peso also makes our exports more friendly. So in general, I think the economy, Mexico is a good bet right now. It's a good place to put your money, and I would feel comfortable exchanging, buying pesos at this rate. Like I said, no crystal ball, no guarantees, but I'd rather buy pesos at this rate. And we have right now 5% that you can earn on a bank CD over 18 months. 5% is phenomenal considering that a 30-year bond or a treasury bill in the United States, I think, is paying 2.9 right now.
Well, there are other ways to invest your money. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show here on FM 104.3, University of Guadalajara Radio. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Knows where, who knows where. brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy. My brother. It's a long, long road. From which there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? He's my
Welcome back. You were just listening to Money by Pink Floyd, which again is a pre-reference to the show this morning. We are very fortunate to have Jason Lavender, director at Intercam Bank, Casa de Bolsa, here in Puerto Vallarta. They have three branches, but they also have 75 branches throughout Mexico. And again, thank you very much, Jason, for taking the time and visiting with us this morning.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
When we left the interview a minute ago, we were talking about different ways to exchange money and this, that, and the other. And you're also talking about investing money.
Right.
Intercam's not just a bank. It's also what we consider a stockbroker type. You can buy stocks and bonds through you all, use that service. But you also have the services of what we'd consider like a savings account or money markets. Mm-hmm. And the money rate is better there than it is, I think, in any savings account in the United States. And it's probably not near as risky as the stock market.
If I may.
Yes, go ahead and expand again.
We're a full-service financial group, which means we've got an investment fund house for mutual funds. We have a brokerage house for stocks, bonds. We have the bank for checking accounts, CDs. And we have the insurance brokerage also. We're one of the largest in Mexico now as brokers. And we also do fideicomisos, trusts, and things like that. Investing for investments right now, the bank CDs are like just like in the United States, they're guaranteed like the FDIC. There's a guarantee for up to, it's about 2 million pesos worth, which means that's guaranteed by the government.
Okay.
The first rule in investing is don't lose money. So that's a very good, the second rule is read the first rule again. But according to Warren Buffett. But yeah, bank CD, 2 million pesos, it's guaranteed by the government. It's about the safest investment you can get. And if you invest that over 18 months, you get a 5% return annually, which is phenomenal compared to the United States. There is an exchange risk because that investment is in pesos. But as I was saying earlier, I feel that this is a good time to buy pesos. I think they're cheap. And if anything, you might get it, besides the interest, you might get an upside when you convert to dollars 18 months from now. No crystal ball. Nobody can guarantee that. But I think it's a, as an investment, it's a good bet.
Well, I think Warren Buffett's a very, very smart man. Of course, he's gone from having just one little furniture store to being, I guess, the second or third richest man in the world. So I know one time he made a comment. He said that his money spoke. And usually when his wife was handling it, it said goodbye. Hey, let me ask you another thing. There's a lot of places in the United States that are advertising buy gold, buy silver, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Does Intercam offer any type of service where I can come in and give you a couple of hundred American dollars and get silver? I know there's Electra, which is a more or less an appliance store, but they have a bank also in there that I go in, I buy the, I think it's called Liberdad. It's one
Libertad.
Troy Liberdad.
Libertad. Sorry. Go
Excuse
ahead.
Well, everybody knows my Spanish. Everybody that listens to the show knows I'm terrible at Spanish. It's one troy ounce of silver, 0.999 pure. And I started buying those about 12 years ago when I first came to Mexico, and I think I was paying like $22 each. Mm-hmm. Now you can get them for probably $15, $16 for the exact same troy ounce. If you can I come into Intercam and buy those, or is that a very special, or gold also?
Yes, we sell coins. You can buy the Centenarios or the Libertad, the silver, anything that's coined. We do sell it, and,
okay.
And it's like anything else. It's the buy sell rate at the moment.
And unlike a currency coin, there's no value to where you can cash in. It's the silver. You're actually buying the silver, correct?
In coins, there's different because you have some coins have are more valued according to their rarity or, mm-hmm. or so. There's other factors, but the general coinage, if it's just a standard, like fungible compared to any other of the similar coin, they're quoted on the exchanges and they're
okay.
Buying gold in general, when you buy physical coins, there's a bit of a bigger spread between the buy and the sell rate,
mm-hmm.
Because it's gold, you have to physically carry it to the bank and deliver it, and it has to be checked that it's not scratched or nicked or anything like that. But it's generally a way of saving. It's not an investment where you speculate that you're going to get interest on it. It's more of you hold it as an insurance that you know it'll never disappear. It doesn't lose. It's not like a stock that can
disappear. Yeah, I had a couple thousand shares of General Motors. And when our current president of the United States decided to liquidate General Motors, I lost every single penny there.
Mm.
They issued you new stock, but if you owned the old General Motors, you got nothing. So right. That was just another reason I really love our current president in the United States, and I moved to Mexico.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank you. You've given us a lot of information this morning for about how to exchange money, the best places, the best ways, the best times. Is there anything else you want to expand on that might be interesting to our listeners about money and services in general?
In general, just I think Mexico is still a growing economy. So I think it's a wonderful country. I was born and raised here, fortunately, made in Mexico with imported products. My parents were American. So I feel very fortunate that they moved here and I was born here. And so I'm bullish on Mexico in general. In investing, I think that we have a very good financial laws. Our regulations are even newer than many U.S. Regulations, which are still, most of them were really done after the big depression.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico revamped all its legal regulatory financial laws about 12 years ago. And it's, so I think it's a very good country to live in and to invest in.
Well, again, thank you, Jason, for coming in this morning and representing Intercam Bank and, informing our listening audience this morning about different ways to, invest your money. I'm sure if anybody has questions, they can walk into any Intercam Bank. I know I've been to three different ones here in Puerto Vallarta and one in Guadalajara, and every branch I've been to has a couple of people there that speak perfect English.
Yeah.
And that's really different than a lot of the other local banks that I find around here.
We, especially in the beach areas like Puerto Vallarta, we cater very much to the foreign American English speaking market. All our employees speak English. And, yeah, here in Puerto Vallarta, we're in three branches in downtown Molino de Agua, at the Marina area, in front of Colash on the main boulevard, and over in Bucerías, near Flamingos, where the Mega in Flamingos is.
I got one thing I want to ask you about. I've noticed that to get into my account and get out of my account, the security, I have a little thing I have to punch in a number, and it seems like the security on my account is much better than it is in the United States. I mean, I have to go, this was new to me, but there's a little computerized chip that I have, and I have to go to my account, start to log in, check something, then they give me a number, and I have to code it back in and give it back. It seems like the security here is very, very tight, much better than what I feel like I get in the United States. So,
yeah, we're very advanced in our systems, and we call it a token, which is like a net key, and including you can have it physically, which you can carry in your pocket, or you can have it the app downloaded onto your iPhone or Android phone, and it's very safe because to me it's even safer than your signature because it's digitally it can't be
and
hacked.
It changes.
It changes by the millisecond, so it can't be hacked. So when you, and we have what we call telephone service, telephone banking, where you can call in and say, please move this amount to this account, this amount to my maid's account, this amount to my gardener's account. And then over the phone, I just say, okay, here's your net key number. You punch it in your iPhone. It gives you another key. You give me that number back. And I know it's you. There's no way it can be hacked or no fraud. So it's easier service. We're very advanced in that sense.
Well, that's great for the people that are coming down here, our audience, because security is important. You're in a foreign country. You're here maybe just a couple weeks or maybe 3 or 4 months if you're not living here year-round. And that's important to know that the transactions you're doing are very secure.
Yes.
So I would, next time you see Mr. Carlos Slim, please give him my account number and ask him if he's got some extra coinage in his pocket. He could donate it to me. I'd appreciate it very much. Well, again, Ms. Spavender, thank you very much for coming in this morning and helping our audience understand a little bit more about how to transfer their American or Canadian dollars or European euros into the Mexican peso. And, again, we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Have I told you there's no one else above you? Fill my heart with gladness, take away all my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. For the morning sun and all its glory greets the day with hope and comfort too. You fill my life with laughter, and somehow you make it better. Ease my troubles, that's what you do. There's a love that's divine, and it's yours and it's mine, like the sun. Should give thanks and pray to the one, to the one. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above?
love you. Fill my heart with gladness. Take away all my sadness. Ease my troubles, that's what you do.
Wake-up show will be back in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio 104.3. I want to thank you for listening in this morning. Hope you're enjoying the show. We've got a very special interview this morning with a couple of young ladies, Michelle Jimenez, and her daughter, Toy Jimenez. Both of these ladies live here in the Bay Area, and both of them are entrepreneurs. They have been in the different businesses for several years. Toy just started hers. Michelle started hers several years ago. First of all, ladies, I want to say thank you very much for taking the time today to come and be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
As I mentioned, we're going to talk about being an entrepreneur, starting your own business. Both of these ladies are in the business, the food business. Michelle, would you mind kind of giving us a short history of
Okay. I've been in the restaurant business with my husband for about 16 years. We have a restaurant in Kingman, Arizona. It's called Mr. D's Route 66 Diner. We've had that one, like I say, for 16 years. And really, my husband's the one that started it all. He's the chef, and I had to go along for the ride. And it's been a wonderful time. We have had many famous people come into the restaurant in Arizona, one of them being Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, wow.
And which was so exciting. Very, very happy that she did, which helped us also be able to open up the location here in Puerto Vallarta, which we opened 5.5 years ago.
And the name of the restaurant here?
Is the same, D's Route 66 Diner.
D's Route 66. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Many, many of you, I'm sure, have been there and tried on what I call the Marina Malecón.
Yes.
At the Puerto Vallarta Marina. And it really takes me back when I first came down a year and a half ago and went. Growing up in Oklahoma, my grandparents and my parents both lived on Route 66.
Right.
And there's a lot of Route 66 memorabilia there. It's good old Oklahoma, Texas, southern United States cooking, chicken fried steaks, great hamburgers, just the things I really, really love. Really, really great desserts.
Yep.
So I'm sure many of you have been there before and know the diner very, very well. Now, Tori, she has a new business. She's here in Naval, Vallarta. And tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, I opened up 2.5 years ago my first location in Puerto Vallarta in Plaza Caracoles, and I just opened up about 1.5 months ago my location here in Nueva Vallarta, and it's doing really well.
And the name of your business?
It's PV Cupcakes by Tori.
And they're great. I'll tell you what, I've had them just about everyone. I was here for the grand opening, and they're just fabulous. But let's talk about being an entrepreneur. You and your husband started the restaurant in Arizona, and then you moved down here.
Yes, we started in Arizona 16 years ago. And then, like I say, we were fortunate enough to come to Puerto Vallarta, where we dreamed of always retiring and never thought of opening, but decided to open up a location down here.
Uh-huh.
And it's been going really well. I mean, it's a little scary in the beginning to try and come out of country and especially since I don't speak Spanish. Thank God my husband's fluent. It's just working hard to get what you want. And
that's the key to it, the hard work and dedication.
It's a lot of hard work.
Being 100% committed or 150%.
Absolutely.
And how much harder was it to start a business here than it was in the United States?
Well, you know, for us, it was fairly, from my experience, fairly easy from what I've heard from other people. We did everything the proper way. We got the lawyers and the accountants to begin with so that we knew we were doing all the paperwork the correct way,
uh-huh.
Which is very important. You want to make sure that all your I's are dotted and T's are crossed and everything. And we found some really good people to help us. Once we did that, we actually purchased the property and the business was already intact. So it came with the business license and everything. It was just a matter of going in and doing stuff at the hacienda, getting the tax license, and all of that with the accountants and stuff. So
you have a fabulous location. I mean, the marina, Puerto Vallarta Marina, is very, very busy. Most of the year, everybody knows, as I've been talking about on the show, we're starting the slow, slow season.
We absolutely are.
And, just walking around, seeing the traffic, everybody knows it's much slower.
Right.
But the restaurant's open 24
every 12 months a year. A lot of them close down, but you all open 12 months, aren't you?
We actually do close. We close for about 6 weeks. We close the last, this year actually we're closing on August 27th.
Okay.
And then we'll stay closed all of September. And then all of my employees report back to work on October 5th. We do a little training for the next season, and we open to the public around the 12th of October. So about 6 weeks that we close. I send everybody on vacation. That's when we do any kind of cleaning, painting, freshening it up for the new season to start each year.
Well, I know that a lot of restaurants close down for a lot more than that.
They do. A lot of them there in the marina do also, mm-hmm. All over Puerto Vallarta and Nuevo. But for us, we figure 6 weeks is good. That way we keep our staff. We have an excellent staff at the restaurant, and how I feel that we keep them every year is we continue to stay open, even though it is very slow. We stay open for our staff and then send them on a paid vacation. That's it. And then I know they'll all be back October 5th. So.
That's a very smart idea, because a lot of the restaurants you go to every August, you go there in November and it's a whole new staff.
Correct.
The food tastes different because you have a different chef back there. But that's what I noticed last year and this year when I've been to your restaurant. It seems like the food is consistent.
Yes.
And that's because you have the same staff and everything.
I try and keep the same staff. And I've had some since day one that we opened. So some of them have been with me for 5.5 years.
Wow.
I do have some new ones this year that have joined right into the team, and they do an excellent job. But I have to say my kitchen staff has been the same staff for the last 3 to 5 years, which just makes it wonderful for me, because I know that, like you said, consistency is very important to us, and I know that it's going to be that way. So,
well, Tori, now, you have two locations, one here in Naval Vallarta at the Paradise Village Shopping Mall, and it's just fabulous. I haven't been to your other location. Where is it located?
It is located in Plaza Caracoles.
Okay.
It's on the outside, really easy to find, right on the corner.
I'm not familiar where Plaza Caracol is. I'm terrible with names. Everybody knows all that.
No, it's actually right where the Soriana is. It's one of the main shopping centers where the Lands department store is.
Okay.
There's a Pizza Hut right on the
corner. I know where that is now.
Right there.
Okay, that's a great location too. And I know in real estate with homes and businesses, they say locations, location, location. And I know the marina is a great, great location.
Plaza Caracoles is a great location because it's busy year-round. Because there's always, like, the people who live
here.
Yeah, they always are there. There's always people. I get people who work in the shopping mall who come and buy cupcakes. Everybody has a birthday all year round, so I'm always doing events.
Well, there was a lady just in here. She was buying a dozen cupcakes for her 8 guests instead of a big birthday cake. So that's a great, great idea. And Tori's Cupcakes, they have, like, 9 selections in here this evening. And I'm sure they've got on the wall probably 20 different types of cupcakes.
Yeah, we have about 40 to 50 different flavors now, and I'm always creating new ones. I just made a Butterfingers one the other day.
Oh, man. Well, my favorite's the margarita. That one's just really great. Well, let's get back to being an entrepreneur. You had a great role model in your mom and dad.
I did,
and I'm sure they taught you a lot. And, Michelle, you learned a lot along the way. It's not easy. What are some of the tips you could give to a person that wants to start a shoe business? I mean, it's not just restaurants. It's not just food. It could be starting a shoe store. It could be starting a record shop. Do they have records anymore? I guess they're CDs now.
CDs that's going out, too. It's going to the iPods.
Oh, well, you know.
All that stuff.
Everybody knows I'm an old geezer. But whatever business you want, most of the entrepreneurs, the successful ones I know, have a passion. They have a burning in their heart, and they want to be very, very successful.
Yes.
Is that one of the main things you need to have?
You definitely have to enjoy what you're doing, and you have to want to do it. For me and my husband, it was we set goals early on when we first started doing this, and we just said we've got to accomplish it. And once you get to one, you get to another one, and you just keep working your way up. But you have to have passion and enjoy what you're doing. And for me, it's the customers. I love talking to my customers. I love the customer service part of it. I love to see here in Puerto Vallarta, it's a little different than in Kingman. Here, I see them every winter. They come in from the very first year that we opened to now. I still have the same customers. First thing they do when they get off the plane, come by. Hi, Michelle, we're back for the next 6 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. And I love it. I absolutely love it. So that's what drives me, is I'm looking forward to seeing those customers every year and know that they're happy. And they come two or three times a
week. Well, you've built a great, great clientele. I know that. I'm going to talk about something else here in a minute. But let's get back. Some of the hardest things that you ran into. Toy, since yours is newer, a couple of years old versus your mom's. Have any rules or regulations changed from 5 years ago to the last couple of years to make it easier or harder, or regulations where you have to go to get your license? You sell beer.
I do.
And wine, maybe?
I have a full bar.
Okay, full bar. Of course, the cupcake place doesn't have a full bar, even though I think they have a margarita cupcake and maybe a Bailey's and cream. You don't need a liquor license for that, right?
I don't know.
Not that much liquor in them. So has anything changed in the last several years to where it's easier? Has Jalisco, the state of Jalisco, or Nogarita, the country of Mexico, made things easier for entrepreneurs or harder?
I would say there's a few more rules out now than when you first started.
Absolutely.
Even in just like little things to say, the garbage and things like that that are a little more stricter now than they were 5 years ago.
With the recycling. And
they want you to recycle
like that.
Everything.
They do want you to have the different canisters. You do have to have... you know, the postings, they're very strict on coming and checking that. A lot of people think here in Mexico that they don't have the health rules and the health laws like we have, say, in the States or elsewhere. But they have implemented a lot of things since we've even opened 5.5 years ago, to where Victoria, when she opened up her shops, she had to fall into the category now that they have to make sure that they have all these things in order. It's not that it's hard. It's just a little more time consuming to make sure that you have everything done right, the proper signage posted, and to have the trash cans that are for, you know, the waste or the food items, the organics, and things like that. But again, it's doable. You just have to follow the rules, and that's my advice to anybody. Just learn what the rules are and what paperwork you need, and just follow it. I know there's a lot of people that want to sidestep in business and try and go the other way, but it always ends up coming back to get you. So
you might
as well just do it right from the beginning.
Let me ask you a question. In the States, there's a organization called the Better Business Bureau.
Correct.
And I know they can be helpful. I think if you contact them, it's kind of like the Chamber of Commerce in small communities. Is there anything equal to that here in Puerto Vallarta or in the Bay of Banderas area that you can go to get tips and regulations, a guideline of what you have to do?
You know, honestly, that I don't know.
Okay.
I did not find anything like that when we first came in. And so, no, when we made the decision we were going to open up the restaurant, we went with what our attorney said to do and kind of followed that and the codes that were set. But as far as like a location, Better Business Bureau or chamber, there wasn't anything like that to really help that I know of. That does not mean that now there is. I just haven't sought it out. You know, probably we should have when Victoria was opening, but
we
had the experience and helped Victoria to be able to do it.
Well, Victoria, you had mom and dad to help you a lot. Of course, you've been in business two and a half years at your old location. The new one here is just a couple months old. But when I walk by a lot, I see it's busy, starting, growing. Word of mouth. Hopefully this will help people understand you have two locations where they can go to get really, really scrumptious cupcakes. They're really delicious. Are there any surprising things that in your new entrepreneurism that you ran into? I know mom and dad were great helpers, but I'm sure you've done a lot of this on your own. Is there any surprises that you might want to say, you know, you ran into obstacles maybe and warn new people that want to try and start a business?
I would say just stay organized and make sure it's something that you love, because opening a business is a lot of work. And if you don't love it and you can't be here and put like your whole heart into it, it's not going to work and it's just going to fall apart. So I can say just stay organized and work hard at it, because
it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to make a little joke earlier about her Toy's real name is Victoria, and I was going to say, give us some of your secrets, but, you know, I'm not so sure.
What?
Victoria, I might get, you know, I think that's copyrighted, Victoria, and that secrets type thing, maybe.
Right, right.
But let me ask you a question. Why cupcakes? Did you love them as a kid? How'd you get into cupcakes?
You know, it's funny. When I was younger, I was not a cake person. I never really ate birthday cakes. I love frosting. But, you know, I just started baking with, like, Christmas, things like that. And it just became something that I did more and more often. And then when I moved down here, I would bake all the time. And then I started out in the markets, like Thursday Market in the Marina, things like that.
Yeah.
And the cupcakes sold so well because they're just such a big thing now. They're just like the it thing to have for your parties, birthdays, weddings. It's just cupcakes. The cupcake wars and all the things you see on TV.
Yeah, TV shows too. Yeah, but I'll tell you one thing. If the food isn't good, if a cupcake's not good or a chicken fried steak's not good or the hamburger good, I think most restaurants, from what I've read in the history, if they last a year and a half, I think about 9 out of 10 fell in the first year.
Absolutely.
So congratulations, lady. You've been in business toy a couple of years. Michelle, you a long time in the United States and 5 years here. So you all are doing it right. Congratulations on your success. One point I want to hit on, in some of the organizations I go to, like the charitable type people I deal with, I noticed a couple of weeks ago I had the pleasure of going to the diner when Corazón de las Niñas were having their poker walk.
Correct.
And a lot of people stopped there at your restaurant. That was one of the places they could go. And you do a lot. You get a lot from the community because a lot of people buy and shop your food in your restaurant. But you also give back a lot.
We do.
And you're a great, great community or restaurant that gives back to the community. And I'm going to say thank you on behalf of the community for that.
Thank you very much.
But also, I know the University of Guadalajara, last year we had our Halloween party.
Correct, you did.
At your restaurant. I didn't win a prize for being the ugliest something or other. But you give out a lot, or you give back a lot, and thank you on behalf of the community that doesn't get to say thank you. I'll say it.
Well, thank you.
But
very much.
What other organizations do you deal with that I'm not familiar with?
You know, we do a lot with the charities there. A lot of them with the shelters and the Navy League. We do a lot for the Toys for Tots and things like that every year. So I try to, you know, give, basically if somebody comes and asks me for something for a charity, it's very hard for me to say no. The friendship clubs, things like that. I'm a giver because, you know, to me, in business, it'll come back.
Oh, sure.
You know, it definitely, and that's something you have to learn, you know. And it doesn't mean that you give away the house or give too much, but you will get it back, you know. I'm a firm believer. It's comes back to you. You help out something that's in need, and it'll come back to you. And we've tried to teach that to Victoria, too. So she does a lot of donations already being, you know, only a new business and stuff. She'll do a lot of donations as far as to different organizations. I know that she did to one of the churches, went out to the dumps for the little kids.
Yep.
And she donated cupcakes to all the little kids out at the dump.
I'll bet they just fell over backwards.
I'm sure that
about
they
that.
Absolutely loved it because it was probably something they had never had, you know.
Sure.
And that's just the way it is. It brings a smile to people's faces if you can help them, and it's good business. It's a good business to do.
Well, as all my listeners know, last week we had Kelly Traynor, the United States Consulate Agent, on, and she talked about the All Tourism event coming up. I believe it's May 8th.
Right.
And I think it's 48 restaurants. Are you one of the 48 involved in that this year? I know maybe you have been in the past. I'm not sure.
I'm not this year, and I know that Victoria's done stuff. But we are extremely busy at our restaurant starting in the state. So I leave actually on Sunday to go to Arizona because we have a car show actually during those same dates
of
like 1,200 cars that are right in front of the old classic cars right in front of our restaurant there. So unfortunately, I have to go, and I don't have anybody that can be there for that. But I would love to do it. It just always falls every year.
When you're back in the States.
I'm back in the States, and we have the big car shows going on there. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, anybody's going to be from, I guess, Los Angeles, San Diego, all the way to Oklahoma.
Yes.
You may be going. Maybe
that's
Northern
right.
Colorado. You may be going to the big 1,200 car rally in front of y'all's restaurant
right.
in Kingman, Arizona.
Right,
it's
right
on Route 66.
Right on Route 66, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's an event, a huge event every year. First weekend in May.
And when is the first weekend in May every year?
First weekend in May every year. This year it actually falls on, May 1st falls on Sunday, so the event
is
Saturday the 30th this year. But it runs for 4 or 5 days, the event. And like I say, it's a wonderful, it's a lot of fun. And the old classic cars, you can't beat them. I mean,
I love
the old cars. So.
Well, we're almost out of time. Let me ask y'all each, what are the important tips that you would like to pass on to other persons that are hoping to start some type of business, be an entrepreneur?
Tori, you're the newest one. Go ahead and kind of give us some tips or some good advice.
Good advice, I would just say work hard.
Follow your passion. Start with something that you really, really love.
Yes, yes.
Have a good idea, first of all.
Have a good idea.
That helps a lot.
I have a great idea for business.
Set goals.
I've got an idea for two businesses. One, I'm going to be a veterinarian, and on the other side of my business, I'm going to be a taxidermist. That way you get to take your animal home no matter what happens.
There you go.
Is that a good idea? How do you think that's over?
I don't know if I'd go to you, but no, I'm kidding.
I'm not so sure it'd be any good. But how about you, Michelle? You've been in business a lot longer.
For me, I would say the same. You have to enjoy what you do, but set yourself definitely some goals to achieve, but keep going. Once you get to them, keep going. It's whether you want to open up a clothing store or a shoe store, like you said earlier, or a cupcake shop. Just have a passion, but know that it is dedication. You have to be dedicated to what you do, because whether your employees come or they don't, you still have to open. Rain or shine, you still got to be there.
Sometimes you or your husband back there rattling the pots and pans and cleaning the table.
Let me tell you, I've been a cook. I can cook everything on my menu. Do I want to? No. I'd rather be in the front with the customer. But can I? Absolutely. Have I had to be a server? 100%.
Sure.
Has Victoria, when she was smaller, had to come in and work and be a server for us? 100%. Have I come and worked at the cupcake shop since she's open? For sure. Have a good support team to help you. It really does help if you've got a support team that's behind you and will help you 100%. But for everybody, let me tell you, it is so much better if you have that drive to be your own boss and to open your own place. You get a satisfaction that you can't get by just being an employee. So I tell everybody who is in the university that's trying to, achieve something, do it. The sky's the limit. You're the only one that can stop yourself from owning your own thing. If somebody says no, don't listen.
When one door shuts, two more opens.
That's exactly right. So just keep going. I've been told no too many times in business. Mm-hmm. You just find another way or do something different and keep going. And that's the best way to be. So.
Well, for all you entrepreneurs out there that are just getting started, I want to let you know the information these two ladies gave out. They're both very successful. They're both very experienced. But they both, I think, will tell you their passion, their love for what they do is what has driven them to success. And last of all, I want to say thank you very, very much for taking the time to visit with us tonight. And Michelle, we wish you the greatest slow season up in Arizona. It's going to be fast season for you up there.
That's right.
And greatest success. And we'll see you, and I'm sure all your customers will see you back in, what, September, October?
I do come in October, the first part of October, when we start to open back up, because we do the dancing at the restaurant.
Yes.
So we have to come in and teach all the new dances for the season to the servers. So.
But Mr. D's will be up and running again next year. And
absolutely.
And I'm
100%.
Looking, going back, get another fry and a chicken 100%. Fry steak. And you're up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, correct?
We are. And we're there 8 to 10 during the busy season. We do go to summer hours we just started this week. We are closed on Tuesdays, and we close at 5 o'clock on Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday till 10.
Now, Tori, you're going to be open year round, right?
I am. I'm here 12 months out of the year, and we are here from 11 to 8 every day.
Have you helped mom and dad pack your bags to go back to Arizona? Or you?
Yeah, I sent them on their way.
You sent them on their way, all on your own. Well, ladies, again, thank you very much for taking the time to be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with a little bit more of the show in just a minute. Thank you again, ladies.
Thank you.
When I see my baby, what do I see? Poetry, poetry in motion, poetry in motion. See her gentle sway. I'll wave out all there's nothing I would change. She doesn't need improvements. She's much too nice to rearrange. Poetry in motion, dancing close to me. A flower of devotion, a swaying gracefully. Nothing I would change. She doesn't need improvements. She's much too nice to rearrange. Poetry in motion, all that I adore. No number nine love potion could make me love her more.
Well, I want to say thank you once again for tuning in this morning. I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to say thank you very much to Dennis Reich and Edgar for coming and talking to us about the Ceviche Festival. Also want to again thank Kelly Traynor at the U.S. Consulate Agency for giving us all the information about hurricane preparedness. And, of course, Mr. Jason Lavender with Intercom Bank. I want to thank him for the information he provided us about transferring money, getting the biggest bang for our buck. And also want to talk and thank Victoria and her mom. Victoria, of course, has the PV Cupcakes, and her mom has the Route 66 Diner and Restaurant over at the Marina. I want to say thank you to them for coming and sharing their information. We're going to be back in about 2 weeks. We're going to take a little bit of break, as I mentioned earlier in the show, due to the shutdown of the university for the end of summer vacation, so all the employees and students can take some time off and get rested up and prepared for the fall semester. It'll be starting in mid-August. So, again, we're going to be taking a break for a couple weeks. There'll be some music and other recordings from the University of Guadalajara, main campus in Guadalajara, and we will be back in mid-August with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show. A lot of new information about the next semester and the SWAM program and all the classes and the great, great events we're going to be having here at the university through the last half of 2017. So, again, I want to say thank you very much for taking the time to listen in this morning, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Have a safe and fun time while we're on break, and we'll be talking to you in a couple of weeks. Again, thank you for listening.
104.3 FM University Radio Network has brought you the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Be sure to tune in and listen next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Hasta la vista.